Hello, everybody. This is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
And this is Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com. And today we're going to hit another topic in the book Positive Discipline A to Z by Jane Nelson and Lynn Lott. And the topic is fighting friends. What do you do when your children get in fights with some of their friends? You know, I had an experience. One of my daughters was having a fight with her best friend, and you know, we just kind of thought it was no big deal. But next thing we know, the friend's father was coming over and getting involved and complaining and making a big deal out of it, and caused a lot of hurt feelings. And there was a big rift in the neighborhood, and it seemed like it made the whole thing a lot worse.
That's what parents do, and it's a big mistake. I think that one of the things we need to do when children fight is stay out of it and allow children to work out their differences. Again, show empathy. Say, oh, I can understand that. It must have felt bad. That must have hurt your feelings or whatever. But we need to have faith in our children to work things out. They learn so much. They learn social skills. They learn that they can deal with problems. They learn to have faith in themselves, to develop the belief that they're capable. And most kids will work out solutions very quickly, unless the parents get involved, and because parents just hang on instead of letting kids work it out.
Is there some point at which a parent should get involved? I mean, you know, it seems like sometimes like things get out of control and there's maybe some bullying going on, or some, you know, maybe there's some physically fighting going on.
Well, I do think that that's a totally different issue if it's bullying. If it's physical fighting, but see, I don't think that that's what really goes on with best friends or friends. We're talking about fighting among friends, and bullying is a totally different issue. But again, we want to jump in as parents and fix everything and rescue our kids and save them from all hurt feelings instead of letting them develop the life skill of knowing that they can deal with these problems. It's going to happen to them all their lives. And sometimes best friends, there's jealousies, there's all kinds of misunderstandings. And I'd like to give an example that happened with one of my daughters. And it was when one of her really good friends teased her about her curly hair. And she has very, very curly hair. And so she found this very upsetting, and she came home and she was crying. And the thing I did was help her to explore what was going on through, again, one of my favorite tools is curiosity questions. And after empathizing with her about how bad she must feel, I asked her, I said, well, are you the only one at school who gets teased? And she thought about that. She said, well, no. And I said, well, who else gets teased? And what was amazing to her is she started talking about, she said, well, everybody gets teased about something, even the really popular kids. And she talked about the most popular girl at school who had bigger front teeth and said they're always teasing her about her teeth. And it just was so comforting to her to think it through for herself and realize that it wasn't such a big deal, and it wasn't long before they were good friends again.
So what are the primary suggestion is to stay out of it, and what are some of the other suggestions that the book gives there?
Well, the other one was to be empathetic. And the other is to not rescue, to stay out of it. The other is to help them explore what's going on and how they feel about it through curiosity questions. And again, because this is one of my favorites, I want to talk about what parents usually do. They tell kids how they should feel about it, what they should do about it. It's just telling, instead of helping them explore so that they could figure it out for themselves. I think another thing that we have to be very careful about is that if you feel too sorry for a child, and that's very different than having empathy, you must feel bad. If you take your child's side and say, oh, that really was terrible, it doesn't take them long to develop the victim mentality. Poor me, I'm picked on. And it's very easy for children to decide that this is the good way to get attention and to feel loved is to be a victim. And that's one thing that parents don't realize is that kids are making decisions as children that affect them all for the rest of their lives. So to avoid that trap of treating her like a victim.
So is this something, I mean, it's probably pretty normal to expect that, you know, there'll be disagreements among friends and maybe some fighting, and, you know, is that to be expected, or can we try to help our kids, you know, avoid that?
Well, I think it's very much to be expected, and it's just preparing them for life. When they get married, they'll have fights with their spouses, and wouldn't it be nice if they learned that they can work it out, they can solve problems, that this idea of helping them think it through and what happened. And so part of the questioning could be, well, what do you think about, what would you like to have happen, and what do you think you would need to do to create that happening? But the whole point is, again, is inviting children to think for themselves, inviting them to dig deep and find out all the problem-solving skills that they have if they just think about them and focus on that. We don't give them a chance to focus on it when we're always trying to solve it for them. They don't develop how capable they are if we're always trying to fix it for them. And actually, one of the parenting pointers in the book is just accept that fights among friends are normal and view them as a necessary part of your child's experience. Know that the conflict will pass, usually in less time than you think. Children usually finish a fight much quicker if adults stay uninvolved. So that's kind of a summary.
Okay, anything else you want to say on this topic?
Again, it's always fun to hear if people have their own stories about how they have dealt with children who fight that's been successful and left their children feeling empowered instead of victims. So if anyone wants to share their stories with us through either emailing me at jane@positivediscipline.com or going to the phone number, tell me again, where is that found?
You can find it on the webpage, positivediscipline.com/podcast, and the number is listed there.
The phone number that they could call in, we would hear their voice on their suggestion, or if they want to ask questions about other topics. And that by doing this, they're giving us permission to use it as a part of one of our podcasts.
Okay, and so you'll be able to find more information about this on the webpage. We have the excerpt on Fighting Friends on the webpage. There'll be a link on the podcast page there to that in the show notes. And more information about the book, Positive Discipline A to Z by Lynn Lott and Jane Nelson. So is that about it then?
That's it.
All right. So until next time, this is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
For Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com.
Kickball. Jump rope. Tag. Monkey bars.
For many of us, recess was an important part of the school day, and it offered so many options.
A chance to tell a joke, sing a song, and to be with our friends outside of the classroom.
But now, with academics emphasized and budget cuts looming, recess is on the firing line.
Believe it or not, approximately 40% of schools across the USA have either eliminated or are considering eliminating recess.
Many educators think kids return from recess more exhilarated, confident, and imaginative.
Experts agree that playtime can be just as vital as classroom time to a child's social, emotional, and educational development.
So if you think it's about more than a game of hopscotch, it's time to speak up.
For more information on Rescuing Recess, go to www.pta.org.
Or rescuingrecess.com, because recess isn't just child's play.